today as we come to the table.
It's not going to be there in heaven. No more curse. No more struggle. No more tension. Pure love between us without any weirdness. Nobody's feelings hurt. No misunderstandings through a text or an email. Love, purity, holiness, righteousness, the glory of God, all year round, so to speak. And it's going to be something we get to enjoy. No curse. I look forward to that. He says, but what will be there is this, the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. How wonderful is that? I'll take it any day.
Advertisements for food usually fit into two categories, describing what is in the food or describing bad things that are not in the food. The smoothie is rich in antioxidants and vitamins. The granola bar does not have trans fat or preservatives. In today's message, Pastor Mark describes heaven by explaining what will be there and the flip side, what will not be in heaven. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Heaven will be filled with righteousness and goodness. Love will be in its purest form. The curse will be removed. There will not be any struggles or sickness. All your stress will be gone. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 22 as he begins his message, The River and the Tree of Life.
Now, if you remember where we left off last time, chapter 21, we looked at the New Jerusalem. Remember, again, the Bible says the Lord's coming back and he will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. His throne will be there in Jerusalem. We saw the whole picture of the stream of water flowing from the right part of the throne there for that 1,000 years and the new kingdom and new Jerusalem built up and all that goes with that. But we saw from the outside, we saw the crystal clear walls. We saw the city of gold, even the street made of gold, the buildings made of gold. Everything was just not clear, but gold and crystal. And we saw the gems and the beauty of all the diamonds and rubies and emeralds and all the different colors wrapped around the base of it and the foundation with all the colors and the glory of the light of God shining through New Jerusalem. And by the way, we had it great because we were in our little tour rocket and we flew around New Jerusalem looking at it. Remember that? You know, you've lost it, Pastor. But anyway, it's like we took a tour around New Jerusalem. We took our spaceship, we took off and we flew around. We looked at the walls and we looked at the inside and looked at the foundation and everything going on and we got excited about it. This week we land. We're bringing the ship in for a stop and we're going to walk in the streets of New Jerusalem. So stay close to the tour guide, the Lord. He's our tour guide. Now he doesn't give us a lot of information right now. The tour we're going to get later is going to be much better. Right now, all we are going to see is the stream and the tree of life and just a spoken of the throne. We won't even really see the details of the throne. So we're not going to get a lot of details, but he gives us just enough to get us excited and to keep our interest. And that's where we take up in chapter 22. John, in his vision now, shifting from seeing the new Jerusalem, it says there in chapter 22, verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Again, pure here is this whole picture of just total purity. Again, we can't imagine a stream this clear. You ever been somewhere where you see a stream that's just really crystal clear? The sun is shining on it, just beautiful. Have that in your mind and now go way beyond that. This is a pure river of crystal water, flowing like crystal, if you will, flowing from the throne of God, just, again, hard to even imagine what this is going to be like, and proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly where this stream is flowing from, but I personally believe it is flowing from the right side of the Lord's throne. Now, why do I believe that? Because we know for a fact that flowing from the right side of the throne in the millennial kingdom is where the river comes from. It'll be flowing from the right side. So why do I believe it's also going to be flowing from the right side in heaven? Because I believe it's a picture that the Holy Spirit is giving us, and it's symbolic of the water of life that flowed from Jesus' side on the day that he was crucified. You see, the Bible says Jesus was hung on the tree of life, literally a cross, which is not the tree of life we're going to see in this passage today, but it is the tree of life through Jesus Christ. And then from his side flowed a river of water and blood that came out on the right side of the Lord and clung to his body as it flowed down. Again, I believe the river's going to flow from the right because I think we're going to have an eternal reminder of the flow of life that came from Jesus Christ for his bride for eternity. And even refers to New Jerusalem as the bride. And we're going to be there as the bride. And so there's all these beautiful pictures and symbolism of the love of the Lord and his love literally flowing out for us and being shown to flow out for us through this stream coming to the right side of the altar. Except this time it's not his blood, because his blood has now taken our sin away. The sacrifice has been made. Now it's the purity with which it should have been from the beginning, and that it is now in the pure love that he has and the pure life that he has to offer us. Notice it says, in the middle of the street, of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves were for the healing of the nations. Now notice this tree here. Again, these multiple trees. Apparently what is going to happen is this river is going to flow down the middle of the street there, right down our middle of the road or whatever it's from, right down from the throne. And on either side of it will be these trees of life. You know, we talk about the tree of life in the garden, and we see the tree of life. Here we have trees of life lined down this stream. And we see they're going to have 12 fruits that are on these trees. On each tree, 12 different types of fruit. Can you imagine a tree that grows 12 different types of fruit? Every bit of it, you know, is going to be fantastic. We're probably going to be able to pick it and eat it as we go along. We're going to be eating in heaven. The Bible reveals that. And so we'll probably have this luscious fruit, these beautiful fruits that'll be growing. Again, 12 different kinds of fruit. The number 12 means God's perfect authority, if you will, God's perfect government, God's perfect oversight. We see the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 foundations of the 12 nations of Israel, and now these 12 pieces of fruit that are on all these trees that are lining these streets. And notice also it says, not only the trees of life and the fruit that's there, but again, the leaves, it says here, it's going to be each month on a regular basis, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now that's interesting. What healing of the nations would it be needed? Again, the nations aren't going to need healing. It's not so much the idea of the nations needing healing. It would appear there's some type of restorative or renewing power to these leaves in the tree of life. Again, that's why the Lord wanted, once they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By the way, aren't you glad the knowledge of the tree of good and evil aren't going to be there in the kingdom of God? Because if anybody could mess up and eat it, it would probably be me. I'm glad that option is not there. It's the tree of life. And when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of life, what did God do? God shut it down so they could never eat from it again once the fall took place. Why? Because it would appear there's a renewative power in the tree of life, and they would have lived forever in these sinful bodies. And God said, I don't want you to live forever anymore in these sinful bodies. I want these bodies to die so I can give you a new body that won't have all the aches and pains and the sin and the fall and all that goes with it. So he blocked them from getting to the tree with the angels. Now trees will be lining the streets, and notice the leaves are going to be for its healing. So you wonder, what kind of healing power, or what kind of restorative power, what kind of renewing power will be in these leaves? Again, I don't know exactly. It's interesting. Whenever I see these things in Scripture, and I encourage you to do this, I look up leaves. What does it say about leaves? Look them up. What's going on with leaves? I mean, I learned a little bit about them in school and all, but not a lot. Here's the definition of what leaves do. Note this. Leaves absorb the energy from the light around them and convert it to energy that the plant can eat and then produce fruit. And so if the same thing holds true in the kingdom, imagine the light that these leaves are absorbing. It's the light of the Lord soaking in, producing the fruit. Imagine what the fruit's going to taste like. This is fruit that's born from the light of Jesus Christ hanging on these trees. And then it produces fruit on the tree and in us, apparently, when we consume it. Now, will there be some type of tree of life tea? You know, kingdom tree of life tea. Pick yours up today, right? I would hope there'd be some type of heavenly coffee tree. You wonder, when we're having our feasts and our meals, will there be like tree of life salad? You want some like tree of life salad, sir? A little more? Yes, please. Thank you. That was lovely today. Thank you. I don't know, but it's going to somehow have this restorative power, life giving that we can take anytime it would appear that we like. It's going to be all year long. There's not going to be the dry times. It'll all be fresh, all be new, all alive at all times. And it says, and there shall be no more curse. What a blessing that's going to be. What a curse the curse is. You know, every problem we have comes from the curse. Think about it. Every tension in a marriage is from the fall and the curse. Every hard time at work, disagreement with a boss or coworker, every angry person, those of you that work in the garden, isn't it amazing how well your weeds grow? You work like crazy to get your garden to grow, or maybe your grass. You do all the seed, all the fertilizer, and you know, everything just made. And there they are, the dandelions. There they are. And there's this crabgrass, you know, and all this clover starts, and you're working as hard as you can. That's because of the curse. That'll happen. You know, we have great groundskeepers here. They do a great job. It looks fantastic. And they'll leave here on Friday, and it looks beautiful. All the weeds are pulled. Everything's just gorgeous everywhere. All the flower beds. They do a great job. And I'll see it on Friday. Oh, the grounds look great. Can't wait for Sunday. And I pull in Sunday morning, and there's this demon weed about a foot tall. How can you grow a foot in 24 hours? It's amazing. It's a part of the curse. It's not going to be there in heaven. No more curse. No more struggle. No more tension. Pure love between us without any weirdness. Nobody's feelings hurt. No misunderstandings through a text or an email. Love, purity, holiness, righteousness, the glory of God, all year round, so to speak. And it's going to be something we get to enjoy. No curse. I look forward to that. He says, but what will be there is this, the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. How wonderful is that? I'll take it any day. And his servants shall serve him. We'll be the servants of the Lord. Now, in a minute, he's also going to say we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. So we get to rule and reign, but we also get the privilege of being his servant. Remember, the Lord started this whole servant thing. He said, why is it a privilege to serve? Jesus came and served us, and he took joy in doing it. He said, now I want you to serve each other, and I want you to serve me. It's going to be one happy family in the kingdom, all serving each other, just loving each other in service. The Bible says the angels, they'll be serving us as well. They're going to be ministers to the people of God. So we'll all be serving each other in some form and fashion while we're in the kingdom. But here's the thing. When you're not walking in the Spirit, service seems cumbersome. It seems hard. If I'm not walking in the Spirit and I've got to pull the demon weed, there may be a little bit of grumbling. Oh, you would be right in the very middle of the stuff at the top of the hill or what. You know, what you would be this. You'll have to pick that up. You know, look at that. You know, over the edge of the parking lot, something thrown out, you know. And it can be that attitude. But when you're filled with the Spirit, there's something happens. It's like, I get to go get that piece of paper and throw it away because I'm doing it for the Lord. I get to pull that weed. I love it. See, it's a blessing when you understand servitude filled with the Spirit and the fact we're all going to be serving each other, and it's an act of love and ministry to one another. It's a beautiful thing. And so we'll be serving, we'll be servants. We'll be getting served as well. He says, they shall see his face, note this, and his number shall be on their foreheads. Now that should ring some bells, whistles, everything going off. Why? Because the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that the Antichrist is going to cause everyone, small and great, to take a mark on their hand or on their forehead. Now why would he do that? Because Satan is trying to be like God. And we've noticed in the book of Revelation, everything that God does, Satan tries to imitate. All the way down to the unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Everything. He wants to be like God. And the Bible tells us God has written his name on our foreheads. Is that great or what? This morning, God's name, if you know Jesus, his name is written on your forehead. And I believe the spiritual realm can see it. What kind of writing? What kind of lettering is it? The name of God, whoa. I mean, I can imagine all kinds of just, wow, you know? But it's written on our forehead. Satan's going to imitate that. It's like, all right, God took those he loves and he wrote his name on them. I'm going to write my name on those that don't love God. That's a name you don't want on your forehead. You want the name of God on your forehead. It's going to be a thing of honor and a thing of beauty. The Lord says, they belong to me, they're mine. You know, it's interesting. Even in weddings today, what happens when the husband and wife get married? The bride takes the husband's name. There's a reason for that. It's very symbolic. It's because we take the name of our heavenly husband, and he's written his name on our forehead. I don't care that my name carries on. I don't need it on a monument. It wouldn't be anyway, so that won't be a problem. It's his name I care about. And his name is written on me, and it's written on you. And I gladly lay my name down to take his name anytime. I say, I do. And he loves us enough to give us his name and to wrap his wings around us and say, you belong to me. It's beautiful. So it's there now. We just can't see it. I'm going to see it written on your head when we get there. And you'll see it on mine. Written on our heads, written on our foreheads. It says, there shall no longer be night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they, that is you, you shall reign forever and ever. He's talking about the church, the bride of Christ. You will reign forever and ever. So yes, you'll be a servant, but you'll also be a king. How does that work? I don't know. You know what, really? I think the example is a true king is a servant. A true leader is a servant. And Jesus showed us true leadership. There's no greater king, and yet he came as a servant. And we're to follow in that example. It's the greatest act of love you could show, especially to your bride. And we are the bride of Christ. So he finishes kind of seeing now the river of life, the tree of life. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. You're really going to have this kingdom. You're really going to live there. You're really going to be a king. You're going to live forever. You're going to be a servant. You're going to be served. You're going to have the river of life. You're going to have tree of life tea. Maybe. It's true. All of it. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things that must surely take place. Surely, Lord, it's been 2,000 years. You know, to us, that's a long time. To the Lord, it's nothing. Again, the kids in the back seat, are we there yet? Just relax. For us, it goes quickly. For them, it's forever. The Bible says a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day to the Lord. Doesn't say that it is 1,000 years. It just says as, which means time basically is nothing to God. But in reality, when we say, Lord, Lord, why are you taking so long to come back? Lord, it's been 2 days. Where are you? Mark, keep your holy belt seatbelt on in the back. I'm driving. We'll get there to vacation in time. Relax. It's so quick. And when I come, it's going to be fast. And this is where he describes in verse 7. Look what it says. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Now, I want to pause there a moment, because this is where a lot of people say, but he said he's coming quickly, but he hadn't come. You have to understand what he's saying in the language, what the word means. The word quickly here is the word tachys. It means it's T-A-C-H-Y-S. And it's where we get, now guys, you'll know this. You car guys and you motorcycle guys, you'll get this. It's where we get the word tachometer. Vroom, 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 right? It's when you rev it up. I was out in the parking lot the other day, and there were a couple little kids out there, and they saw me get on my motorcycle. They're like, rev it up, let it make noise, or whatever. That's what this is. That's what this word means. But it means not just making noise. That's not really the meaning of the word. It means something that happens very fast. And even as you have the speed limit gauge that kind of shows you what you're going, the tachometer is the one that when you rev it just goes up real fast and comes down. What he's saying is this, when I do come, it's not that I'm telling you when I'm going to, but when I do, it's going to be like that. It's going to be like a whoo, and you're out of here. We're literally going to be there sitting in church or doing something at home or whatever, and it may happen today. I'd love it if it happened during church. Wouldn't that be great? All of a sudden, guys, we're going to be here and just whoo, we're in the kingdom. And there, I'm looking at you guys, and you're looking at me, and we're going, whoa! It happened! Here we are! Told you to be quick. It appears that when that takes place at the rapture, that's when we get our new bodies, is what it would appear. There can be theological discussions on that. I get that. But he's going to tell us later that he comes and brings his reward with him. So we're going to suddenly be there in the kingdom, We're going to be there at the wedding supper of the Lamb. This is a beautiful banquet laid out for us. Maybe Tree of Life salad at each plate. I don't know. I'll let that go in a minute. And he's going to start giving us rewards. Now, will he give the rewards first, or will he let us eat first, or will we eat and the rewards be handed? It's like an awards banquet. And we're going to be celebrating the fact that we have his name written on our forehead, and we're a part of his family, and we're in the kingdom, and we're getting reward for what we've done down here, but we know what we deserve, don't we? He's giving us rewards. He says, be ready, be watching. The Lord said over and over, watch, 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 be ready. Why would he say that? Because the rapture is not real. That's why he would say that. If the rapture wasn't real, the Lord wouldn't have said over and over and over, watch, watch, be ready, watch. If the rapture's not going to happen, what are we watching for? The tribulation? No. He said, watch, for I'm coming at an hour that you do not expect. And we're going to rev it up, and you're in the kingdom. And it's going to be great. That's what this means. I love it. Gets me excited. It's like, you know, I'm ready, Lord, just anytime you want to do it. He says, I'm coming quickly. When I do, it's going to be bam-o. Then he says, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And he's going to come back to that theme in the minute of keeping. He's saying, don't just read it, keep it. It's a gift to you. I've given you revelation. I've given this to you as a gift. Keep it, hold on to it. Don't let it go. It's something that you're supposed to hold on to and treasure. Blessed is the one who keeps it. And by the way, have we not been blessed going through the book of Revelation? We have been. It's interesting, in a moment he's going to say to John, I've given this to the churches. As we get further on in the book of Revelation, did you know that the book of Revelation is a gift to the church? And yet how many pastors today and how many churches today say, we're not going to open that gift. We're not going to go there because no one can understand it. Guys, Revelation has been a gift. The word revelation means to reveal. It is a gift of God. It is a book that specifically comes with a promise of blessing if we will study it. God has given it to us as a gift. Pastors need to be teaching it. And the church needs to be sharing it. And for those who would say, well, it's too hard to understand, it's very easy to understand, as you've seen these last 22 weeks. It wasn't hard at all for the early church, and it shouldn't be hard for us. We just don't know our Old Testaments very well. Remember, John wrote it in such a way using imagery from the Old Testament because he knew he couldn't get a letter through the Roman soldiers that was to the church. They hated the church. So they said, yeah, this crazy old man wrote some story about all these images and visions. But everybody, the Old Testament is all the early church had, by the way. If somebody tells you, well, we don't really need the Old Testament, tell that to the early church. What'd you do at Bible study? Well, we don't really have anything today, so let's sing a song and God bless you. All they had was the Old Testament. That was it. The New Testament came 100 years, almost 100 years later, maybe 50 to 80 years later. But the bottom line is that they knew their Old Testament. They knew the imagery. They knew what the dragon was. They knew what all these pictures were. All they had to do was take from the Old Testament, plug it in the new, and they knew exactly what John was saying to them literally.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Revelation next time. But you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series plus much more at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. Before we close, we want you to know if you live in the Knoxville area, we invite you to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through his radio outreach. There's always a seat for you, Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. You can download this from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Revelation, a fascinating and sometimes mind-boggling book that consists of things from the past and touches on what's to come in the future. One sure way to not be anxious about the things written in Revelation is to fully understand exactly what God's telling us prophetically. So be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.